ever since I've been a little child, I don't know why, and to my wife's chagrin, she didn't know when she married me, I've always loved animals. Since I was a little teeny child, I've been fascinated with all kinds of animals. I've had pretty much every pet you could conceive, reptiles, birds, raccoons, squirrel, and even now I have quite a lot of pets. But I love animals, and when I became a follower of Jesus, I became even more fascinated at the intricacies of the societies, and I even like insects, not to gross you out, but if you look at just a colony of termites, there's not just one or two, but there's this entire intricate thing. And I find out that, did you know, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but the primary queen can live up to 50 years old. 50. Some of these termites live longer than humans. And so she also secretes a pheromone that basically keeps all the other queens who can't become queen until she dies. And there's a king, and then there's a backup king and a secondary queen, and it's just fascinating. Now, you know me, I get super excited. This is a picture of a queen termite. Some of you will have nightmares tonight, but that's okay. But basically, she does about 30,000 eggs per day. So talk about a mama doing a lot of work. And so she produces about almost 11 million termites. Why am I sharing this today? We have this entire world of termite society going on all around the world, going on in the wood, and it can be a very destructive force. It can be a very helpful force. But we're not always aware of it. Now, this picture shows a lot of houses that have termites, if you look at the outside, you don't see all these problems. But inside, there's this entire colony with all kinds of things going on. And why I'm fascinated with animals and insects is that our Creator God has made an incredible creation, and there's all these things going. We also find out that in the scriptures as well, there is a bigger story. When we're born into the world, we a lot of times just see from the outside of the wood. We don't see all the intricacies behind there. We find out there's a bigger story. And what we start finding out is that in the creation, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And then we came into this world and we've got a problem, though, just like the termites. There is another kingdom. There is another society. There's another evil spirit system. There's an evil culture that is out there. And if we're not careful, it'll destroy our lives and our families. One of the reasons we did a baby dedication today is that we want to give Bradley and Amanda all they can to raise their daughter up in a society and a culture that's going to be against her if she decides to follow Jesus Christ. But what would happen if you found out that your life and your house was totally termite infested? What would you do? A lot of people ignore it. They don't give a lot of attention to it. But what would happen if you found out there was another option, that you had become an heir to royalty and you could, if soon you'll come into a full fortune in the future in England? Would you live any differently? Would you act any differently? And we're finding out today, we started a new sermon series on the book of Colossians, and we started it last week, and we found out that basically Paul is saying God has done all these amazing things for us in Jesus Christ. There is this huge inheritance that you've done, and what's even more incredible, the Bible teaches this, that basically everything, since Jesus Christ was our representative, everything that Jesus accomplished and did is become then credited to us. And if you take a moment, this is quite amazing. It's the only thing that didn't belong to Christ that we gave him is our sin. It said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. But think about this. Christ died, we died. Christ was resurrected, we were resurrected. Christ was ascended, we were ascended. And Christ now lives in the heavenly realms. And guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, all these goodies, all these things that God did, we get access to that. So then how would you live if you knew that, and yet you decided you're going to stay in your termite-infested home? Paul says, you know what? That's not how you should live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the incredible story that you have put before us in the Bible. And I pray that today I would be able to communicate clearly what you're doing in our lives today. And Holy Spirit, your word is living. And I pray that today the living word of God would change hearts today, would encourage people. I pray people would walk away knowing that you love them, God, and they are significant and that you want to use them and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you get more details from our last week's sermon, but just a couple real quick catch-up for those who are new. Epaphras was a man who went to Ephesus. This is now in current Turkey, and he heard the gospel. Paul preaches the gospel. He gets excited. He becomes a follower of Jesus. He goes back to his hometown, Colossae, and in Colossae and Laodicea, he starts planning all these little home churches. And as he plants these churches, he gets really excited. But all of a sudden, other people start coming in and saying, you need more than Jesus. It's Jesus plus something else. And so what happens is he gets a little upset with this. So he goes all the way to Rome and finds Paul and in prison tells Paul, I've got a problem. There's all these things going on, these other philosophers, people pressing in. Would you write a letter to help me out? So Paul pens a letter, the letter to Colossians. And since he knew that Tychicus, he was going to send Tychicus down there to receive the letter, he also had a slave named Onesimus show up. And Onesimus was the slave of a guy named Philemon who also lived in Colossae. The plot thickens. Finds out Onesimus becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, becomes a Christian. And so now Paul sends these two men, Tychicus and Onesimus, back to Colossae with the letter to Colossians and the letter of Philemon. And this is where he picked the story up. If I was to summarize the entire book of Colossians, it's Jesus plus nothing. A lot of us, we come to know Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. But we always want to add on stuff. We want to add stuff off. And so one of the biggest problems that the Colossians felt was a thing called legalism. We all struggle with it, including myself. We all like to add something to the gospel. So what we always like to do is like, you know, I love Jesus, but if I do this, or if I give this, or if I serve this way, or if I think this way, and Paul says, no, that's not the issue. There's only one way of freedom, and that is not in law, not in following rules, not in a certain religion. It's by being in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fun thing about a lot of New Testament books was Colossians falls into Ephesians, Romans, and Colossians. Paul starts off with, these are all the goodies that Jesus has done for us. Then this is how you behave. A lot of Christians, a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders start off with the behavior. And they'll say, you need to not lie. You need not to do this, this, this. But if you don't have the belief behind it, you're not able to behave. So bad theology brings bad behavior, but good theology brings good behavior. So what he does in the first part of Ephesians, the first part of Romans, is that God has done all these things for you, then this is how you are to live, and this is what happens. Now, not to get too technical, but it's going to be worth it. Two big words learned today. There's indicative verbs or chapters, which these are just a simple way of saying facts, and Paul is really good about saying, these are the facts. This is who Jesus is. This is what he's did. Then the imperative is, this is how you should behave. So, today we're looking at Colossians. We're going to start into the second half of Colossians now. Last week, we talked about all the things that Jesus Christ did. He is the image of the invisible God, and Jesus has done all these amazing things. He died on the cross, forgave us our sins, and so then going into chapter 3, he says, because of all that, this is how you should live. Here is the key verse of Colossians, and we're going to dive into our scripture today. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Now, this is key today. In him. I hope everyone walks away today saying your identity and the way you follow God is in Jesus, in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. I have a quiz question for you. What is the most common description in the Bible of a follower of Jesus? Don't say it out loud, but just think for a moment. What's the most common description? Is it the t-shirts we wear? Is it the fact that we have a fish on the outer back of our car? What's the most common, this might be a shock to some of you. Do you know what the number one way is? Is that he or she is a person in Christ. Your identity is in Christ. This is so important that Paul says it 164 times in his letters alone, not to mention other books. Think about this. The number one way Paul describes followers of Jesus is being in Christ. That's radical. Let me tell you why. Christian is only used three times in the Bible. And actually, more and more as people ask me what I am, I'm not so much a Christian. I am a person who's in Christ. That's a profound difference. Christian's only used three times, and the three times it's used in the Bible, the first time in Acts 11, 26, it's actually almost derogatory. This is the first place where they were called Christians. Then basically a high-up leader in Acts 26, are you trying to make me a Christian, Paul? And then basically Peter just says, as a Christian, he says this three times. So I have a challenge for us. Would we be willing to think more? The Bible talks about being in Christ, through Christ. Think about that for a minute. My relationship, my identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not in Christianity. It's not by being a Christian. It's that I'm in relationship. Think about this. Jesus is in me and I'm in him. That's my identity. Your identity is in Christ. That's quite profound. Listen to this poem to kind of give you an idea of what I'm trying to say. Not merely in the words you say, not only in your deeds confessed, which a lot of us, you know, like to say what a Christian is, but in the most unconscious way is Christ expressed. Is it a beatific smile, a holy light upon your brow? Oh no, I felt his presence when you laughed just now. To me, 'twas not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me still dim, but when you came, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead. I have never, it's been a long time, I've been doing this for 27 years. This week I've had a really wild impact with the Word of God. As I've been meditating on this week, that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. You know what that means? Not to, I will other time, other sermon. But what this means is that everything that Jesus did on the earth, God puts us alongside that and says that basically all the benefits that Jesus has, we get because we're in him. Why have this little you are here? And all the suffering and the reigning of God, all the things he got in creation becomes ours in Christ. Is that not incredible? I think that's incredible. That as I'm in Christ, my identity now is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. If you go through this New Testament now, it just opens your eyes that all these things that Christ has done, right now Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I used to think that was a geographical comment. Right now, I'm envisioning Jesus. That's not what it's talking about at all. Psalm 110 says this, the Messiah is now, it's who he is. He is the king and he is the priest forever. It's not where he's at, it's who he is. So who you are in Christ means that all the things that are in Christ now become yours. Does he see the difference? So in the book of Colossians, when he says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual force of this world rather than on Christ. What's he getting at here? Don't let anyone else get you off. If it's not about Jesus and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you really should have nothing to do with that in regards to your relationship with God. This is profound today. At least I think it is. I'm speaking to myself. It seems profound to me, I should say that. So let's jump into this scripture, and I want to show you something. Colossians 3, we're just going to be in Colossians 3, 1 to 4 today. Since then, and the reason why the since in chapter 1 and 2, God, Jesus Christ, who's he's the image of the invisible God, he is the firstborn of all creation, he is the creator of all things. And as I showed you last week, Paul does a word play about who he is in the Genesis 1. All these things that Christ is, since then, all this happens, you have been raised with Christ. Have you been raised with Christ? Did you have that experience? Here's anything in the theology. God saw you even before you were born, and he, in a sense, by his thoughts, raised you with Christ in a theological way. He saw all these, and then when you were born and you accepted him, he put you into all these things that he did with Christ. So listen to this. You have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Let me just show you real quick Psalm 110. If you want to turn to Psalm 110, why this is not a geographical but an important thing. When a lot of times in the scriptures we pass over these really important things. Paul is not saying right now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, though he is. That's not the point. The point is this. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. And then he goes down to here, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And what he's saying here is this Jesus is the king, Messiah, the priest. And because of who Jesus is, you can now set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now here's the part we should memorize, and this would change your life. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is a profound text. You right now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a hidden life with Christ. Christ lives in you. Right now it's hidden. Why is it hidden? Because Jesus is hidden right now. But when Jesus Christ comes back, we, as he's being revealed, we will be revealed. Right now, if God was to reveal to all of us who are followers of Jesus, we couldn't handle it. And so we have this hidden life in Christ. And so what this does, it shows me that my life's hidden in Christ, Christ's hidden in me. This gives me a whole new way of looking at life. I got excited about it. I had Psalm 110, but let's go first what it says here in the scripture. Let's break this down briefly. In the past, we were raised with Christ in the past. That's something that's happened to us. So right now, currently, we're hidden with Christ in the present, and in the future, we're going to be revealed with Christ. All these truths are, that's why people will say that I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. Now, we have some new people here. I just want to do a quick two-minute, some of you have heard this before, but this will help bring Colossians alive. Forgive me if you've heard this before, but the Bible taught that there is a present age, which we currently live in, and then finally, one day, Messiah would come, and he would stop the old present age, destroy all the enemies of God, and enter into a new future age. We found something amazing happens in Scripture. That was the Old Testament view, but when the cross of Jesus Christ came and he broke in, all the demons there and said, wait a second, this is supposed to be the beginning of the Messiah age. what are you doing here, Jesus, early? We find out that the present age wasn't destroyed. We still live in the present age. But the future messianic age has broken in at the cross of Jesus. So we now live in two ages. We live in this present age, but there's also a future age that's broken in. So what happens is we are now living between two ages. If you don't like the ages, we'll use earth and heaven. So now when you do the Lord's Prayer, what we're saying is, I live on earth, but Christ lives in me. And so every time I pray the Lord's Prayer, I'm saying, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What am I asking? Today, as I'm living in this present age, I would like the future age to break in now. And so as I pray for the sick and pray for people, so it's like, bang, the future age breaks in. So what happens, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are asking the future to break in to the present. Does that make sense? It's like, whoa, that's pretty trippy. But it's actually true, and it's exciting. So now, why I bring this up, going back into Colossians, Paul's saying, wait a second here. I've given you these indicative statements. In heaven, in Christ, in the kingdom, you have been raised with Christ. God has done this. Through your faith, you've accepted this. Now your life is hidden with Christ, and your life will appear with Christ. If that is all the stuff going on, what are you spending your time on? And this is what Colossians is all about. You should be thinking about, praying about, dreaming about, worshiping out the future, not this present age. Does this make sense? So what Colossians is so powerful is because of all these things in heaven, why are you sitting around worrying about this? You should be focused on that. Now, he's not saying to be like a mother giraffe and have your heads in the clouds as your little baby giraffes are not being taken care of. He's not saying we're to be so heavenly minded there'll be no earthly good. He's not saying that. In this present age, though, we are to live as new citizens of God. So what's happened is you've been given a new passport. If you're a follower of Jesus, you now are a child living God, so start acting like it. And that's the whole issue. All these things have happened. We're not fully there yet, but we want to start living like we are. If you were royalty, if you had inherited into a family, would it make sense you would start acting like it? Look at Philippians 3:20. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Do you see the same thing as in Colossians here? He's saying this, my inheritance, my identity is with Christ in heaven, but he's not here right now, so my life is hidden in him, and when he comes back, I get all the glory comes with me. But until that time, I'm going to have my passport, and I'm going to walk around, but I'm going to start acting like a citizen of heaven. I'm going to stop being a jerk and living like a sinful person. I'm going to start living like a good person. Makes sense? But I'm not doing it anymore by rules. I'm doing it because of who I am. Here's a better way of saying it. To become what one has already, become in and with Christ. Easy for me to say, isn't it? What he's basically saying is, you are this, start living toward it. Better way of saying it is this, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A child of God who is in Christ is going to act like Jesus Christ. If my identity is in Jesus, I'm going to start acting like Jesus. It's nothing I can do. It's Christ doing it in me. So a better way of saying it, start dressing the part. If you've been invited to a party, get in the tuxedo. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, start living it. But you can't do it on your own. You only live it through Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. You've started off well. Now, this next picture you can say, is that really a picture of a giraffe with a suit? Did he really do that? Yes, I did. My point of the matter I'm trying to do, by the way, those who are new here, the slides are really mostly more for me than for you. They help me keep me on track. I saw a funny meme, you know, it says, I have OCD. They said, I have CDO, because that's the way it should be in order alphabetically. It's kind of a little OCD joke. Anyway, I'm having fun. The slides keep me more for me than you, so it keeps me on track, and it's for some of you enjoy it, it's good, the images. But why I use this image is this. We are heavenly-minded people who are thinking about, praying about, and waiting for heaven, but we're living today in this earth. And so God wants us to live right now as citizens of heaven, not for the future, but for the present, but we're asking God to break in now, and that's the way we're to live our lives in our home, our families, our work. And so what we're doing is we're saying, God, I want to walk in your presence. I want to be in Christ because of what you've done for me. So let's go back through the scripture again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now he says this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I was like, how do you set your minds on things above? Well, we have a dog named Coco. He's a one-year-old dog now. It's a golden white retriever. And Coco loves balls, so he's got his special outside balls that are really dirty and nasty that Christine doesn't allow in the house. And then he's got a little special balls in the house. And guess what? Pretty much most of the day, Coco is either focused on the balls inside the house or he's focused on the balls outside the house. And if Coco is inside the house, he instantly goes to the window and looks at his balls outside. And he's always setting his little puppy heart and his little puppy mind on the balls outside. Coco gives us a good example of what it means is that he's always aware of where his ball is. And so what happens is when the ball goes underneath something, he'll start whining, and he really always wants to know where his ball is. I think it should be the same way with us as followers of Jesus Christ. We always want to be thinking about Jesus and always think about what he's doing and always being aware of God in our life. And I think the key to this setting our hearts means in every aspect that I do it all through Christ. Think about this. All my actions now are in Christ. When I looked up how the Greek says it, it's a continuous, ongoing effort. So the things above is basically the things of God. Am I continuously, ongoing, putting effort into it? But as you all know, we're a work in progress. And so Paul, then, as he knows this, this is a new way to look at now when he does say, don't lie, don't steal, and he lists all these things. A better way to say is that I'm not going to live these now because I need to live the law. But because of my new identity in Christ and the freedom, I am now capable of doing these things. This is the key. And I'm a work in progress. I heard an old Tennessee saying that what you draw out of the well, what's in the bucket is what's in the well. It's pretty profound, isn't it? Good old Tennessee wisdom. Whatever, what you draw out of the bucket, it's in the bucket's in the well. What he's trying to say is, no matter what you're trying to say, whatever you pull out of the well is what's in the well. And so what Paul is saying is, look, this is how a follower of Jesus Christ should be. Like, they should be like Jesus. But unfortunately, some of us are still pulling some stuff out of our life that are not like Jesus. So as opposed to saying you need to live the law, no, it's saying, though, I need to get back into Christ. I need to be following him and asking forgiveness and asking God for help. And over time, God will continually sweeten up the well. Does that make sense? So it's a new way of looking at ethics. Paul is saying we don't be moral because we need to be moral. We're moral because God made us moral. We are followers of Jesus because that's what he did. So we want to, hopefully in time, what comes out of the well becomes sweeter and sweeter and be more like Jesus. Versus, I need to do this. But when Paul says this now, I've used it as, you know what? I'm still pulling up some stuff from the well that's not of Jesus. I'm going to need some help, and that's why I'm going to pray and get some help. So then here, Colossians 3:3-4, I want to get into the key to the text now. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I started thinking, what's it mean to be hidden with Christ in God? There are these things called, my Russian's terrible. Anyone know Russian? Matrosky, the babushka dolls are called nesting dolls. Anyone here know Russian? All right. Do you know Russian? How do you say that? Thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't want to butcher it. Thank you so much for that. Anyway, these are wonderful dolls, and what they are called nesting dolls. And how these dolls work is that in these dolls, they'll have decreasing dolls, and usually the last doll will have like a little piece of chocolate or candy. But what's fascinating, if you think about this, is that being in Christ is looked at two ways. Going back to here, it's Christ is, I'm in Christ, so I'm like, in a sense, this little doll in there. I'm in Christ, and all the things that Christ has done, but at the same time, Christ is in me. That's profound. And so as I live my life, Christ lives in me. And so what this does is this scripture helps us with two important life questions. And this is it from the cradle to the grave. The number two questions I think we ask a lot is, who am I and where am I? Think about that for a moment. A better, deeper way of looking at these questions, am I significant and am I safe? And you know what being in Christ means? I am significant. The Lord of the universe has decided to place his spirit in me. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, chose me, chose you, who are followers of Jesus, to be in you and you in him. That means you're significant. So if you right now are struggling with, let's be honest, we all like to build our identities. We want to be known as a teacher or a leader or a professor or a student or a wife or a husband, a rock star, whatever it is. But here's the freeing thing about being in Christ. No matter what life throws at you, you're significant at your core because your identity is that Jesus Christ lives in you and you live in him. That's significant. That's profound. And so right now, if you say, Jesus, the most important thing is you're in me and I'm in you, that makes me significant. Romans 8:11, And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, you know what this means? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit. If you meditate on this alone, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, don't you think that would be an awesome thing? That same Spirit, that same power is right now residing in you. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. You shouldn't be worried right now, about, though we are, but the Christ lives in us by his Spirit. Wow. And then it says this, I am safe. We look to the elections are Tuesday. A lot of us are saying, what about this? What about, remember, you know, I'm showing my age now. I mean, we used to think Russia was going to bomb us with nuclear weapons. We're always afraid of the culture. If I'm significant and I'm safe, if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, and I have all the hope and glory for Jesus, guess what? Who's in control of the world? Jesus is. Who is turning history to where he wants it to go? Jesus is. By the way, Colossians says he has destroyed or overdone all the powers. There is no evil spirit. There is no wickedness. There is nothing in this earth that can go against you if you're a follower of Jesus. Why? Because Christ isn't going to deny himself. You are significant and you are safe. I'm sorry, but this doesn't get you excited. Then I don't know what it means by being a follower of Jesus. You guys, this is kind of the big stuff here. I just want to say, just stop for a moment and say, Christ lives in us and I live in him. That is a neat way to live your life. My identity is in Christ. I don't need to worry about any more other things. You know, on Facebook, if I'm liked or not liked, I'm in Christ. I am significant and I am safe. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. C.S. Lewis said something similar, but if we were to fully see who we are going to become, we couldn't handle it in this room. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration in the New Testament? Jesus Christ became transfigured in the thing. That's we are what? Because look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. This is another flashback to the Old Testament. When Moses, who spoke to Yahweh face to face, when he came out, because he'd been in the presence of the Lord, his face shined, the Shekinah glory. So guess what? They had to put a veil over his face. So when he walked out, they couldn't see the glory of God. What this is saying is Moses, who used to have his face veiled, you who are a follower of Christ in the new age, your veil's off. You are now seeing the Lord's glory in a portion of it as face to face. You're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Do you know why you're safe and you don't need to worry so much about what's going on in your relationship? He's making in you the image of Jesus Christ. Who is doing that? He is. Whose idea was that? His. So why don't we slow down a little bit, relax, and be still and know that he is God? Why don't we start embracing what he's doing and saying, Lord, bring the transformation. But careful that prayer, though. That could be a scary prayer. Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So here's the big thing today. Significance and safety are found in Christ. I am in Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory. 164 times, Paul basically is basing the majority of our walk with Jesus. So I hope you don't consider yourself so much a Christian, you can consider yourself a person who is in Christ. That's a big thing. Your identity is in Jesus. Now, do you see now when Paul says, okay, whew, I said all this stuff, and you're still worried about, hey, I didn't do this, or did the Sabbath, or that. He says, wait a second, you're missing the point. It's Jesus. Stop. And that's what Colossians is saying. Stop looking at everything else. Let's do a couple implications, and then we'll worship. So what are the implications of this teaching? First off, being in Christ brings personal fulfillment as a human being. Now, I know being a follower of Jesus is not about our fulfillment, but you know what? It's a great ride when you are built the way that God calls you to be. So you are significant and you are safe. It's incredible to be as a human being as God's made you to be. The longer I've been walking with Jesus and getting more in touch with who I am and my identity in him, it's really a nice way to live. It's the way to live. And so if you are struggling right now, you might want to think about you being in Christ. Being in Christ means you are part of a community family. You know, I don't know if Bradley and Amanda and I would have been friends before this, but you know what? We are because of our relationship in Jesus. I think about that. You know, and all of you in this room, we're in relationship because we're in relationship with Jesus Christ. Our relationship is based on Christ. And you know what? We're going to be relationship with each other forever, so we probably start getting along and be a little nicer to each other. But think about this. Our relationship, we're brothers and sisters. We are family. I've got all my sisters with me. We're family. Sorry, I just had to do that just once. And Jason's my sister and everyone here. I'm just having fun. But think about it. We're family. And for a lot of you who've come from broken homes, We have been brought into the family of God, this new community, and being in Christ is incredible. We are family with people all around the world who are followers of Jesus. Galatians 3, 26 to 28 says this. So in Christ, by the way, if you start looking now, you're going to see everywhere you look, it's in Christ. It's going to hit you because it's 164 times. As you're getting the New Testament, you're like, wow, so in Christ, which you are, I'm in Christ Jesus, then you are a child of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. God has done a lot for you, and that's the whole point. Jesus lived a perfect life, and God credits you for that. Your sin was given to Jesus. He died for your sin as a substitute. He's your representative. Now, all the things that Jesus Christ gets, you get access to. So Paul's saying, wait a second. If you have all that stuff, why don't you start acting like it? Why don't you start being a little more thankful? And why don't you start serving him? Why? Because he's done it for you. But here's the key. We don't live the law or because we weren't able to. The law forced us to say you can't do it. But once we come to know Jesus, we're now capable to fulfill the things of the law. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. Here's the cool thing. My identity is in Christ. So as I keep working into my identity, God is going to help me to follow him. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's why being hidden in Christ is kind of neat, because basically with the Colossians, why he said this to the Colossians especially, is he says the Jews want to make you more like Jews. He says, no, you are all part of my family. And so don't let Jews or Gentiles force you into their box. You come in a relationship with me, I'll take care of the rest. Being in Christ brings radical transformation. And this is why Paul still reminds us, and in the end of Colossians, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. But then it says, in the Lord. Most evangelicals don't share in the Lord. I'm willing to do a lot of things in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ too. So then when Paul says, this is how we should live our lives, you can't do it on your own, but you can in Christ. So being in Christ brings a radical transformation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Something amazing has happened to you. And by the way, something as amazing happened to you in the past, something as amazing happened to you now, and something amazing is going to happen in the future, and you have to walk through that. Again, you're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. A lot of you like just to check the mark off and move on. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. It's a daily getting up, looking for your ball. You know, Coco gets up, where's my ball? We get up each morning, Jesus, I want you. I want to see you in all things. I get fired today, but where are you, Jesus? You're still on the throne. I have a rough relationship, where are you, Jesus? We're always looking for Jesus. We're setting our hearts on things above. Why? Because we're asking for those resources to break in today. Bradley and Amanda are going to have lots of challenges ahead, and they can stop and say, Lord, we're putting our hearts on things above. Why? We need your help to raise this little angel, right, and pray. Again, the bucket thing, what's coming out of the bucket? One of the reasons we gather together as Christians and communities, we need to help each other. Some of the stuff coming out of my well is not Christ-like, and I'd like to change that. So let's confess, pray, help, learn, and grow through that. And it finally says this, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you see this? I'm showing you other Pauline, non-Pauline letters. It's all over the place. But here's the thing to walk home today. I am significant and I am safe. You are significant and you are safe. Christ Jesus lives in you and you live in Christ. If you just spent the rest of the day meditating on it, I think it would change your life. And here's the last thing for you to walk away with is your life is safe, secure, and significant and hidden in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Wow, Lord, we are hidden in you, and for some here right now, that means that we're not finished yet, but our life is hidden in you. And Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. And I pray that today a veil will be taken off some of us to know that who we really are in Christ. And Lord Jesus, we are in the palm of your hands. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now and help us to know that we are significant and we are safe. We want to be in you and you in us. And so this union with you is an amazing relationship. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now, just receive our worship, and we just want to spend some time with the God who loves us. And let us right now realize that we are significant and safe. And thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for a family. Thank you we could enjoy Bradley and Amanda and their family and Josephine. Thank you for life. Thank you for community. But thank you most of all that we are in relationship with you. So Lord, we ask right now that heaven would break in right now to Muhammad. We had asked that the future age, with all the goodness and glory and all the wonderful things, would some of that break in right now to Muhammad? In Jesus' name, amen.